الحمد لله، نحمده سبحانه وتعالى ونشكره ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونسأله العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله سيد خلق الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. We praise Allah and we express to Him our gratitude, and we ask Him to guide our footsteps to the straight path, and we ask Him to shower His blessing and peace on the last of His messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We bear witness that there is no deity save Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and the messenger of Allah. My dear Muslims, at turning points of history, the events deserve more attention and more understanding and more pondering. We cannot watch history like we are watching a video tape. Things are happening and we are spectators. We have been commanded by God to participate and to take a stand, at least vis-a-vis what's happening, because after all, history is the product of the interaction of people. And so we have to know where we are and where we stand vis-a-vis the important events. So even if we can afford to be just observers, when history is stagnant, we cannot afford that situation at turning points. Turning points happen in the history of human beings at it's not very frequent. These are every long time comes something. I'm not talking about important events, but comes something that changes the course. And what we see happening in the Middle East, in the Muslim world, is changing the course. It's not about persons, is not about that we get rid of that ruler or this ruler, is not about bringing down this government or the other government. No, it is way bigger than that. It is a change in the kind of world that's being built for the future of our children and grandchildren, and for the future of our religion within the human civilization. So I don't want us to underestimate or limit what's happening in Tunis and Tunisia and in Egypt, and what's taking place in Libya or Yemen or Bahrain, as just people are upset with their government. No, people are upset with the world they lived in, they lived under, for about half a century at least. And they say, because the Spirit of God spoke into them, that this cannot keep going on. It is contradicting the very basic logic of Islam, which is La ilaha illallah, which means that I am liberated from being enslaved or subdued or submissive to any other power other than Allah. So it is the spirit of liberation into us, the spirit that wants to break all the shackles and collapse all the walls, so that we, the masses of Islam, have the privilege of communicating with our Creator freely, without being intimidated and without being directed. So it is a revolution, not against a ruler or an army or a state. It is a revolution against the logic of compulsion and oppression. And this will be far-reaching and will change everything around us, inshallah, God willing. So the Quran taught us that. Quran said, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. Haven't it been that groups of people will push and deter each other, corruption will overwhelm the earth. And the Quran also said, وَلَوْلَا, using the same word, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيعٌ وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا. Which means, if it's not for that repelling and pushing and shoving and deterring each other, the institution of religions, because the Quran talked, as a matter of fact, put mosques at the end of the list, monasteries, synagogues, churches, and mosques, where the name of Allah is mentioned in glory and in abundance, will be destroyed. The institution of religion, which connects human being with the Creator Almighty, and which give people empowerment and guidance, will be destroyed. So Quran alerted us that this dynamic movement amongst people is what protects civilization, and actually what protects religion. So we are now going through one of these turning points, and I invite myself, I urge myself and you to understand what exactly it means and what the consequences might be. I think everybody agrees that the image and the view of the Muslim world now is dramatically different from the same image 3 months ago, and it will be dramatically different 3 months from today to the betterment, inshallah. So this is that time where the people of Islam, the Ummah, should make very important understandings and develop very important concepts and make very important decisions. It is now clear that we are receiving news coming from two tracks, and I'll just mention the events. From one track, we have the revolution in Tunisia, the revolution in Egypt. Both are very peaceful, very determined, and very pluralistic, and completely oriented towards that comprehensive change. And alhamdulillah, they succeeded. Because the situation in Libya, they are tested and inflicted by a ruthless dictator, all of them are, but he has an edge over them. He is also crazy. So they are suffering more, and they are shedding more blood. Nonetheless, anyone knows that this is, unfortunately, is higher cost to pay to be free and to be liberated. We getting from that track a certain message that if you want a change, it should be adopted by the masses across the board, by the Muslim and non-Muslim citizens of a country, and that change should be comprehensive change, radical change, to create a different world. And this is why one of the most effective and heartwarming pictures that you see was those of 3 years old and 4 years old chanting in the demonstrations and demanding the change. Because it is a future which is different from, is not built on the past. It is a radical change, a new start. We get also through that track the reality that this was ignited, initiated, inspired, and sacrificed for by the youth. And I know that in our circles and in our mosques we talk a lot about the youth, but I think this is an opportunity to heed what we say about that. That if you want a healthy movement for change, you should have the kind of youth that we saw in the streets of Tunisia, and we saw in Tahrir Square, and we are seeing in Benghazi and Tripoli. The people who believe in themselves, who did not sell out their identity and their principles, and who are ready to sacrifice. So that is the second message we are getting from through that very same track. The third message, that is, those people there understood Islam in its elegance. So we saw men and women, young and old, Muslims and non-Muslims, praying to God together in the squares of revolution, under fire. They felt that they are getting the energy from the Spirit of God in them. And what are they trying to achieve? Achieve justice, which is the core of Islam, the belief in God, and to establish justice, which comes under the name of human rights, civil liberties, you name it, but the idea is justice. So this is actually Islam, played in the squares and in the streets. And any shunting away from that is a great disservice to Islam. The fourth message that we got is the table of the public opinion, world public opinion, has been turned around. People before this movement were apologetic for being Muslims. They were on the spot, everybody telling them, see the beheadings, see the atrocities, see the bombs exploding everywhere, what kind of religion is that? Now the table is turned up around and people saying, wow, let us be like those people. They are not only being accepted, they are being emulated. And in Wisconsin now, I read a line, I consider it a joke, but nonetheless, it says, let us walk like Egyptian. That was a famous song in the past. So the table is turned. We are not the backward, the ones who are waiting for revelation to come from Washington or Paris or Moscow. We are who we are, have every reason to offer humanity something good. The fifth message, and quote me on that, the success of these revolutions is because men and women were together under fire. There is no discussion whether the voice of a woman is aura or not. There is no discussion about the attires. Women with niqab, with hijab, with nothing, together with men, shareholders, to build the future for their children. And this causes success in the movements. And any similar movement that will lack this element will not be as successful as these experiments that we already saw. So those are five messages coming from that track. There is another track sending a different message. Killing the only Christian minister in the Pakistani cabinet, assassinating him, assassinating a judge, detonating a car bomb that kills Muslims and non-Muslims. primarily Muslims. And these atrocities that their people, the people who are doing them, wanted to convince us that they are doing that for Islam. Nonsense. It is proven that this shop of terrorism is bankrupt. For 50 years, we didn't see from them except the pain, suffering, and the embarrassment, and the justification for dictatorship. And in 3 months, we showed that this is a failure, and the success, we can see it through other different means, non-violent resistance to oppression. But we are getting those two messages anyway from the events that we watch and we see every day. We have now then to understand that we have, the Ummah of Islam, have to make the choice which way we wanted to go. It's obviously by the millions that poured in the streets that the Ummah answered this question. Nonetheless, you can be very healthy doing the right exercise and taking the good care of yourself, but if there is a cancer in the body, it should not be allowed to spread. Extremism and terrorism is a cancer in the body of the Ummah of Islam. And it has to be eradicated. I am using strong language, but because this is what it is. There is no way that we solve that by compromise and we got to be coexist and to each is his own. No, that's too late for that. It is the future of Islam is on the line. And we have to choose what kind of future we want to make. Udu Allah innahu al-ghafur al-rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. To recap, the events in the Muslim world are a turning point and needs to be understood as such. And it is far-reaching, like the French Revolution changed the future of Europe. This revolution will change the future of the world. And we are very blessed and very empowered that the promises of God came true. He promised the oppressed that he will prevail. He promised the oppressed that the oppressor is not permanent and can collapse. And we see it happening in front of our own eyes. We just need in our institutions and in our programs of education to highlight that so that we get our arms around the huge new reality. So that the world that is being born now, we become part of it. Because if we don't, we will fall into the black holes of irrelevance. And we are commanded by God not to be like that. We are supposed to serve humanity, khurijat linnas, to enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our footsteps to the right path. I ask Him to forgive our shortcomings, trespasses and mistakes. I ask Him to strengthen our hearts, enlighten our brains, and enhance our determination to live up to the standard that He wants for His servants. And we ask Him for victory for those who are struggling in Libya and in any other place. And we ask Him to take His mighty intervention on the dictators and oppressors who are torturing their people and shedding their blood. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'afina wa'afu anna wa tawallana wa tub alayna wa dafi' anna wa dfa' anna kulla sharrin wa kulla su' wa salli Allahumma ala Muhammadin aqim as-salah.